Lord, that you would anoint my lips to faithfully proclaim your holy word and gospel. For these things I ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. You can tell the importance of any group's identity by looking at what celebrations and days of remembrance that they have as part of their calendar. This is true whether you're talking about a family, a church, a business, or a nation. Tomorrow, our nation will celebrate Memorial Day. And in our celebration of Memorial Day, we are not remembering all people who have served in the branches of our military. No, that's Veterans Day. Tomorrow, we are remembering those who gave up their lives during battle in the service of our country. The purpose of Memorial Day is to honor and remember all those who have given up their lives. So the formal reason for Memorial Day and Veterans Day are very distinct and separate. Well, today is the Sunday after Ascension. Ascension Day was this past Thursday, so we're observing it today as Ascension Day, the Sunday after Ascension Day. And we're saying something about the importance of Christ's ascension. Before I go further, let me give you a lay of the land of my sermons the next couple weeks and months. So today's Ascension Day. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. The following Sunday is Trinity Sunday. I'm not ignoring them. That'll be the focus of my message on those Sundays. Once we cross that, then we'll go to the Gospel of Mark, and we'll be in that for a while. So there's the lay of the land. This morning, I'm going to be focusing on Ephesians 1, 15 through 23, and I really want to ask three questions. What is the connection between Christ's ascension and prayer? Secondly, what are we to be thankful for? And third, what are we to pray to God for? So first of all, what is the connection between Christ's ascension and prayer? The ascension of Christ is that act of God the Son leaving this earth and returning, showing that his earthly work and ministry as the incarnate Son of God was finished and accomplished. His ascension comes after his resurrection, but before the coming of the Holy Spirit. Christ's ascension is the confirmation that Christ truly made atonement for our sins on the cross, and that his bodily resurrection on the third day was a truly glorious victory over sin and death. And the ascension of Christ confirms all of that. It also confirms, as the angels told the apostles as they were staring up into heaven as Christ disappeared from their midst, that he will come again. Even as you have seen him go up to heaven, he will come down the second time. Of course, we confess to judge the living and the dead. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20 says this about Christ's ascension. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. In this passage, God the Father shows his great power toward believers. And it is God's power which also raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand. That power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Christ at his right hand, is available to us. It's an open acknowledgement in heaven that the work of his Son had been completed, and he had accomplished the mission of redeeming his people from their sins. This act of Christ being seated at God's right hand and ascended into heaven shows that he is the reigning king. In Christ's ascension and prayer, the connection is that Christ was raised from the dead and seated at his right hand, and as he is at work in all believers. And we are to come boldly into his presence and pray precisely because he's our great high priest whose high priestly work is over on the cross. But now he intercedes for us. And so we can come boldly, not because of what we've done, but what Christ has done for us. Paul knows that God is at work in the lives of Christian believers as he hears of their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love for fellow believers. We see the link between Christ's ascension and prayer because he's seated at God's right hand. When you are being accused of a crime, you want the best lawyer. We have the best lawyer that could ever be. Christ is our defense lawyer, saying, I was punished for him. I was punished for her. You can no longer be held for your sins when you're connected with Christ because he suffered in our place. God's power, which raised from Christ from the dead, is available to us if we're united to him. In the ascension, we remember that Jesus Christ is King and Lord, and he is the one whom we pray to and who intercedes for us. As I read in our call to worship these words from Hebrews 4:14 and 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This passage connects the ascension of Christ with this great privilege of having access to Christ and what Christ has done for us. And one of these results of Christ being seated at the right hand of God is that we can come boldly into his presence in prayer. This brings me to my second point, which is, what are we to give thanks to God for? We're to give thanksgiving to the Lord for his many mercies to us. Ephesians 1:15 says this, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you in my prayers. As I mentioned already, Paul gave thanks to God for the Ephesians believers because he heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love for the saints. In other words, Paul was constantly giving thanks to God for the genuineness of the Ephesians' faith and their sincere love for one another. And so as he often does when speaking of the believers' trust in God, the Apostle Paul connects God's gifts of faith and love in us. Remember Christ, when asked the question, what's the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love for others is connected to our faith in the Lord. It's a demonstration of God's power among us, which grows in us because of God's gracious work. And so sometimes when we talk about the power of God, we think of the spectacular things that God has done for us in the history of salvation. Parting the Red Sea, the many miracles of manna for 40 years, provisions supernaturally for God's children as they wandered through the desert, the collapsing of the wall of Jericho, and on, Jesus feeding the 5,000, Jesus walking on water, Christ being raised from the dead. But we also have to engage our minds and imaginations to realize God's power is just as present with us as we love one another. It's not a wow kind of thing, but it is a witness that God's power is in us. Because our natural bent and tendency is not love, but selfishness and revenge. When God's power is with us and in us, we seek to love one another, to turn the other cheek, and to forgive 70 times 7. This is an example of how Paul gave thanks to God for his marvelous work within the lives of believers. Thanksgiving is this discipline of identifying and naming God's gracious acts to us and for us, and verbally acknowledging this to God in prayer. Thanksgiving is our response to what God has already done for us in saving us and sanctifying us. Now, thanksgiving is not primarily an emotion, but something we do as an act of our will as we are enabled by the Holy Spirit. Some examples of the things that we need to be thankful for are the saving person and work of Jesus Christ for us, God's written revelation, the Bible, God's grace given to us in the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and the multitude of God's gracious acts towards us. And we need to name them day by day. God's gifts of food, of medicine, wholesome recreation and literature, for family, friends, and neighbors, for any time somebody says something encouraging to you, or when you have an opportunity to serve the Lord and use your gifts, we need to give thanks to God for all his goodness to us. James 1:17 reminds us of this. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Let us also remember in the Gospel of Luke, where it is recorded this wonderful miracle of our Lord as he healed 10 lepers, but only one of them came back to return thanks to Christ for healing him. Thanksgiving is our Christian duty and our privilege. Whether we feel emotionally charged up to give thanks or not, it is our discipline. And so we need to do it and remember how gracious God has been to us. So those are some things we need to be thankful to God for. My last point is that what are we to pray to God for? Ephesians 1:17-18 again gives us help here, where Paul says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Paul prays for the Ephesians that they may be enlightened by God with a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we would grow in the knowledge of God. It's important that we properly understand what Paul meant by the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation is the act of God uncovering and making manifest the truth of the gospel. Praying is speaking God's promises back to the Lord, and we ought to pray out of the treasures of God's word, and this prayer as an example. We are to pray out of the wealth of God's word and not out of the emptiness and limitations of our own mind and emotions. God's revelation is found in his written word, the Bible. And so if we're to be educated and knowledgeable in the school of prayer, not just talk about prayer, but actually practice it, then we need to take our cues from the Psalms, from the Lord's Prayer, and from all the prayers in Scripture to show us how we ought to pray. We need God's help to understand and apply God's word. This requires not only a knowledge of God's word, but a personal commitment to God's word. In regard to Paul praying for us to have the spirit of wisdom, biblical wisdom is both religious and practical. Biblical wisdom has as its foundation the fear of the Lord, which is its beginning and foundation, properly reverencing the Lord, knowing that God is both holy and merciful. Wisdom branches out to touch all of life, and the book of Proverbs is a demonstration of all the manifold wisdom in God given to us and how we ought to live and live skillfully in the presence of God. Even wisdom derived from natural abilities or distilled from experience is a gracious gift, and sometimes we talk about that as streetwise. Because God's creative activity makes such wisdom possible and available to us. Wisdom takes what is derived from the knowledge of God's way in Scripture and applies them to our daily lives. And so to be wise, we not only have to be knowledgeable about God and His Word, but knowledgeable about ourselves, about our skills, our abilities, as well as our sins and our vulnerabilities. Where is our weak Achilles heel? And so as we seek the Lord and pray to Him, we are to seek God's wisdom in all these facets of life. Paul is confident that God will now add to this increase in wisdom and knowledge in showing us two things. What are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? Paul wants us to realize that the Lord Jesus will one day bring into subjection everything in creation, so that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now that truth is not obvious to those who don't believe, but to those who do believe, we need to live like Christ is Lord and that He is King. Christ will one day renew all things in heaven and earth, and among all people, every knee will acknowledge Christ's lordship, that He is King. God will bring about this glorious transformation at the end of time and according to His time and His power. But we are Christ's servants in this life to remember and act like right now Jesus is Lord, because it is so. Many of the things which God's power achieves in us right now, such as putting sin to death and becoming people of prayer, remain hidden to the world. And sometimes these realities go unnoticed even by God's people. And so I think what Paul is trying to do is review and wake us up. Remember that God's power is among you. We need to be truly God's people who recognize God's power among us, and we ought to pray and cry out that Christ's will be done in our lives. As we pray in the Lord's Prayer, Your will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. And so sometimes I think to myself, short prayers ought to be in my heart and on my lips this day. Two very short prayers. Praise God and Lord have mercy. May we praise God from whom all blessings flow, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me as I seek to live for You. Be with me, Lord. Help me to see how You are working in me and in the lives of Your people this day. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation that I may know You better and in a deeper way. Help me, as one who's been a Christian for decades, to live like it. In the spiritual realm, help me to act my spiritual age and not my shoe size. There's no reason for a Christian who's been a Christian for decades should act like he's still in kindergarten. We need to grow up in our salvation. And that requires our will. It requires us being circumspect, being aware not only of God, but of our enemies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. They're here. You can't see them, but they're there. Help us, Lord, to recognize Your power among us. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do ask that You would strengthen us in the gifts of faith and love. Help us to trust in You for salvation and godly living. Deepen in us the gifts of prayer and thanksgiving, that we would be a people who seek You and are grateful to You for all Your blessings to us. For these things we beg through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.